We're going to kind of go back into what we started last week, and we started talking last week about cleansing your house and of spiritual darkness. And it was, you know, when I was kind of praying about where I should go, because I want to do a series on authority, the authority of the believer, because I really feel we need to understand our authority so much more, and especially in the arena of ministry such as deliverance, we need to know what our authority is. You know, we deal with a devil that's already been brought to nothing. He's been made a bold display of, he's been disarmed, and he's been triumphed over in the cross. So that's who we deal with. You know, so it's not even a fair match on his corner, because he's already lost. You know, we're the ones who are, he's under our feet, you see, but he's a deceiver, and he's sneaky, and so that's how he gets into our lives, is through deception, through thought patterns and iniquitous patterns and things like that. And so as we address these things in the class, it would kind of help you to understand maybe some areas that you need to take authority in, you know, because well, I'll get into this a little bit later, but you know what? If we didn't need to continue to take authority over the devil, what did Jesus give us authority for then? Amen? You know, so he's, you know, and we're told to, that we're, there's warfare against us. We're told that we're given weapons of warfare. So again, why would we have weapons if we're not battling? You see, so, but we, so many times, we don't understand because we are dealing with unseen forces. Okay? But we need, if you, begin to recognize their tactics, their schemes, different things like that, you know, you don't even always have to see, but you can begin to recognize how the enemy is attacking, and then you can begin to take authority. I was talking to someone today and you know, they've been standing against cancer, and I said, you know, to them, I said, you know, I only look at you one way, and that's healed. I don't see this person any other way. And she was healed. And I told her, you know, and she's, all of her tests are coming back great. But I said to her, I said, you know what? You can tell the devil you were healed 2,000 years ago. It's already been, it's done, you see. So sometimes we just deal with Lyme symptoms. Duh. If we were healed, then these symptoms, what's truth? The word of God or the symptom? You see? When my son's bone was dead and we looked at x-rays all the time, and that those x-rays were always telling us the bone was dead, that was fact. And that was like 2.5 years that we continued to look at death, 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 and we decided that our healing was contingent upon that x-ray changing. But that wasn't what the healing was contingent upon. The healing was contingent upon us coming to the place that we allowed truth, which was this word, to override the fact. Now he was, what, and God literally brought his bone back to life after 2.5 years, actually was almost 3, which was medically impossible. But according to the word of God, that was nothing more than a lie. Lying vanity, a lying symptom. And you know, Jonah said, Lord, do not let me forsake your mercies by paying attention to lying vanities. And I'm not telling you to ignore the attacks of the enemy. That's why we're teaching this class, because we're not going to ignore his attacks, but we're going to enforce the victory of Calvary so that he is fully defeated in his attacks against us and against our families. Amen. Amen. So, you know, as I go through this and you know, I'm sharing, last week I shared quite a bit about ourselves, and I might tonight again, but as I share that, you know, don't, if it targets you, please never, never, never feel condemned. Because this class is never about condemning you. Some of the things that we go through, some of the horrible things that happen to us, you know, we have a will and we make decisions, but we're so set up by the enemy. We're so set up by things that happen in our lives and the way we're raised and the things sometimes that we're taught that we just, without even thinking, just kind of flow through things. And even we do that as believers. So we end up being set up, and then we realize that, you know, we just look at ourselves and we decide, well, I'm such a loser. I do this wrong and I do that wrong. And you're not a loser. You know, you are victorious in Christ and you've been duped. So this class here is to expose tactics of the enemy so that you don't have to feel condemned, but that you can get up and say, this is it. I am done with you in my life. Amen. Praise God. He's a jerk. He really is. And I tell you what, our family has been through a lot of things because of this enemy. But when we God began to bring deliverance into our lives, began to teach us stuff, we began to get free. And we've not arrived, but we are well on our way. Amen? Amen? Okay, so just in kind of, I'm going to go back a little bit over what I talked about last week, but The title of this series is Ridding Your Home of Spiritual Darkness. Today I was talking to someone. They wanted to know what I was teaching tonight. Now, this is a person that wasn't born again. So I said, well, let's see, how should I put this? Paranormal. I said, I'm teaching about the paranormal. And this is what it is, you know? So it's the little guy. Vicki knows what I'm talking about. So I explained to her, and she might come tonight. But, you know, I was thinking about some things that she said because she was saying, well, how would you know, how do people know if that kind of stuff's in their house, you know? Well, this is sometimes why people in the world don't always know and understand things that are in their homes. Because they're not spiritually discerning at all. They would be spiritually blinded to the things of the Lord. But a lot of times Christians are too, because we have become insensitive just because we think that the devil can't touch us. All right. And I really do not like that when people decide and say, well, you know, this deliverance stuff, you know, it's ridiculous and blah, 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 blah. Well, tell me why your life's such a mess then. Seriously. You know, if Jesus redeemed you from the curse of the law, and he has brought us into that place of victory, then what are the forces that we're battling, you see? And so the enemy has done real well in keeping the church ignorant and blinded to what he's doing. And then he just goes all over and raises havoc in the body. And we should be the most victorious people on the face of the earth, you see? But we're not in many areas because we don't understand who our enemy is. You know, if we're going to go to war in the natural, we study our enemy, you know? So we need to know some of his tactics and schemes, and then we can, you know, just really begin to operate in the authority that Jesus Christ gave us. But one of the reasons that many Christians are unaware of demonic activity is because of a lack of spiritual discernment. Now, the greatest way to get spiritual discernment, number one, you need to be born again, get in the Word of God, and get filled with the Holy Ghost, and spend time praying in the Spirit. Spend time praying in your prayer language, because when you pray in your prayer language, then you begin to fine-tune your senses to the Holy Spirit. And the praying in other tongues is the doorway to the gifts of the Spirit. And we need the gifts of the Spirit operating in the church again today. Amen? Amen. So we, you know, if those gifts were in operation, the church wouldn't be as blinded as they are. And some of the other reasons is that the fact that so many churches have taught against deliverance or taught against, you know, you hear the thing, well, you know, let's not focus on our enemy. We're supposed to be focusing on Jesus. And yet, if you go through the Gospels, you will see Jesus dealt with the enemy over and over and over and over and over. So did he focus too much on him? Or did he just plain take authority over him? You see? So we just deal with it as it comes, as we need to, okay? As believers, we need to understand that there is an invisible spiritual force behind, many times behind visible objects. And this is one of the major ways that the demonic operates, okay? Now you could take, the more you do different things, you become good at it. So our team, really, we can basically sit down and talk to somebody and we can tell you what spiritual issues you're dealing with because we do this all the time. And you know, there's nothing new under the sun. The devil has the same old, same old, same old. He doesn't come up with nothing new at all. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says that we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are seen are eternal. Here Paul implies that there is more that we need to be aware of than what we can perceive with our five natural senses. Demons are masters of disguise. They can inhabit people. Now, I know there's a lot of new people here today, so I do want to put out a little bit of, we do not teach that Christians can be possessed. We do not believe that Christians can be possessed here. And the reason for that is because possession is ownership, isn't it? And if we belong to God, then we can't be possessed by the enemy, all right? But Christians can be oppressed. They can have the demonic where it's attached to different areas of their lives, maybe soulish areas or physical areas in their lives, sickness and disease. And if we go back to the Old Testament, back into the Old Covenant when the woman that was bowed over with a spirit of infirmity, and Jesus said, ought not this woman, this daughter of Abraham, meaning she was covenant, be loosed from this infirmity. And he commanded a spirit of infirmity to come off of her, and she stood up straight. And then the woman who came to Jesus with the little girl who was demon possessed, and she was outside the covenant. And he told her, now he said to her, healing is the children's bread. Okay. So what was he talking about there? Read it. Deliverance. Deliverance brings healing to us. So when we go after things and we take authority over them, a lot of times things that attach to our bodies physically are nothing more than spirits of sickness and disease. When my son's bone was dead, and it was dead for 2.5 years, and we moved here, and sometimes we go through deliverance, we're like, duh. We just don't get it. And so we were like dealing with this dead bone and just endeavoring to believe God to heal him. But then we were sitting in this one church. And you know, if you sit in a church that teaches more doubt and unbelief than the truth, then that's what you're going to operate in. Because we do operate underneath what we sit under, all right? And that's basically what we had been sitting under. So therefore, we would keep trying to get this healing. But every time we went to church, they would tell us, well, this is your cross to bear. You're just going to have to suffer with this. And this is what God's using to try to teach you a lesson. And I was a new Christian, and I thought, good grief, I do not believe that. That did not bear witness with my spirit. So we warred against that all the time, trying to lay hold of healing and sitting under a doctrine that was not teaching healing. You see? So we were mixing seed. You know, if you read in the Old Testament, you weren't to mix seed, were you? Why? Because it will totally abort what it's supposed to do. It is unable to produce. Okay? And so here we were trying to get healing, but sitting under teaching that was teaching us something else. And so when we came here and we got into a church that began to teach us truth, and we sat there, and the minister was teaching on Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that what he says will come to pass, he will have whatsoever he saith. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. That's a deliverance scripture. And the Lord said to me that night, he said, death is your mountain. Go home and cast it out. And this is 2.5 years looking at x-rays every 6 weeks that showed that the bone was dead. And finally, I listened and he said, cast it out. And we cast it out and he was healed. Isn't that awesome? Medically impossible. In fact, we've witnessed this miraculous healing to doctors and they've argued with us and said, no, you couldn't be healed of that because it's impossible. But we have x-rays that prove it is, you see. And that's right here in Rockford, Illinois. We have the x-rays that prove that his bone came back to life simply by commanding a spirit of death to come out and then speaking the word of God, the word of healing to it. So, you know, there are so many, when I'm talking about you cannot be possessed, but we can have areas in our lives that the enemy can have attacked and he endeavors to wage havoc against us until we become aware of his tactics and his schemes. And so as we were talking about this last week, I shared with you a little bit about living in the house that we had lived in. But let me just read this here to you. I'm going to try to stick with my notes pretty much tonight. Demons are masters of disguise that can inhabit people, objects, portions of land, whole territories, houses, buildings, heavenlies. They sit in the heavenlies, or high places, depending upon whatever their purpose is. Normally, they will sit in high places as rulers, okay? They're endeavoring to influence down through, okay? And a lot of times we hear people in the body of Christ going to go out and they're going to take out these rulers, and yet they can't deal with these ground-level demons that are in their own lives. You see, first we better get some strength down here, and then we can start taking out some of these other higher-level demons. But again, I'm going to read some things to you, too, about this. We need to know where we are called of God to go. Okay. So there are certain areas in the arena of deliverance that I don't deal with. And I'm not going to go into that. There's a bunch of different levels of deliverance. But until God calls me into some of the other ones, I'm going to stay right where I'm at. This is my safe place. You see, if I move out into territory that the Lord hasn't, see, sometimes we get really excited about this ministry. And we just want to run everywhere and get everybody free and get everything done. But you need to wait and grow and get free yourself and get God's direction and then go. If you go without God's direction, you're in the flesh. There's nothing good in your flesh. And I sure don't want to take on any devil within my flesh. I want to take him on in the Spirit of God. And by the leading of the Holy Spirit, then you win every time, okay? So I always say that with caution, but there's a lot to that. So, okay, demons can gain access through sin, trauma, victimization, witchcraft, occult practices, generational iniquities that have come up through bloodlines, which almost everything I'm talking about tonight, you can find the teachings in the archives of abundant living, okay? Because they're there. We reteach them, but they're there. So if you're wanting to ever go back and find out some of this stuff that I'm talking about, we give I give a little bit more teaching on it in some other areas. We go more deep into those. We don't want to be fascinated with the demonic, but we need to be aware of what it is and how the demons operate in order to keep our homes and our families free of spiritual darkness. John 16:33 says that he says to be of good cheer. I have overcome the world and I have deprived it of its power to harm you. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy and nothing shall by any means harm you. He says, I give you authority. Authority means right to rule over the power of the enemy. So the devil, our enemy has power, but we have the right to rule over that power. Okay? After I taught last week, it was kind of interesting because I have had so many people in this last week come up and say, oh my goodness, the stuff you said It was exactly with what I'm dealing with in my home, or I've had these different things that I'm dealing with. And one of the things that I didn't talk about last week, and I'm going to talk about this because I forgot till somebody came up and said to me something about this. But actually, I think I might wait and go on a little bit first, okay? Just so it fits better into my teaching here. But we're going to talk a little bit tonight about haunted houses, okay? And what is a haunted house? Do I believe in ghosts? No, I don't. Do I believe in demons? Yes. Okay. So a lot of this paranormal stuff that everybody is out looking for a ghost, you know, or some psychic person or something that's dealing with some familiar spirit, those are not ghosts. They're demons. They're evil spirits. Okay, that are sent to deceive you. They never come as your friend. Actually, the person I was talking to today, they said, well, aren't there some good ones out there? No, there are not. There are no good ghosts out there. You know, if they act like they're your friend, I mean, if you're talking to them, oh my goodness, you shouldn't be talking to them. You need to be casting them out. But people do. Okay, and that's common in the world today because the world doesn't understand the supernatural. They're hungry for the supernatural, but they're very deceived by the supernatural. And there's a fascination with that, you just do not want to mess around with fascination like horror movies, books such like Amityville Horror, these movies like, oh goodness, what was some of the, there's so many of them that, you know, and people go to that, even the Twilight, because they become fascinated with the supernatural. When we open those doors up, we are inviting the demonic in. When you do that, you give them a legal right to come into your home and into your family and into your bloodline. So again, like I said, if I step on your toes tonight, it's not to condemn you. It's to make you aware. So what do? You are going to break the authority. You're going to repent and you're going to get out anything where you've opened up doors. So your family's not going to end up having to deal with these things. But I'm going to read you a couple stories. Some of these stories are mine. Some of them that I'm going to tell you about today are ours and some are not. Some of them I have just gotten out of some different books. But I was going to tell you about a lady who came up to me last week. And I said I was going to share that later. So I'm going to do that in a minute. Okay, this is a story. This says there was a young man by the name of Jack. And he asked his friend to come over to the apartment that he was renting from the seminary that he attended. So he invited this person to come over to pray with him. He reported that there was always a heavy, oppressive feeling inside the apartment. He didn't like being there at all. He knew the problem was spiritual and needed prayer. And remember I said to you last week when we moved into that house, I hated my house. I couldn't stand that house. And then when it burned down 3 months later, I was glad. I was like, yes. And people thought I was so strong in the Lord because I wasn't weeping. Oh, I hated that house because there was so much awful stuff that was going on that we couldn't explain. And we'd talk to our pastor and he'd like poo-poo us like, oh, come on, you know. But we had all this horrible stuff happening. And like I said before, I don't think those demons could stand us because we were newly saved. We were so on fire for God. We were running around the house praying in tongues all the time, using the name of Jesus, you know. So it was like either they thought she's going to go or we're going to go. But, you know, they didn't go. They made us go. But that was okay. I didn't care because I just got out of there, and that was fine. But the thing of it is, like I told you, we didn't leave without some things. But there was also that feeling of not wanting to be there. And, you know, so sometimes when I'm talking about this, if you're not, I'm not telling you that you got to go home and look for demons in your house. Okay. But if there's something not going right, you might. And let me tell you this too. If you got stuff in your house that's occultish, you need to get it out, because then you have a doorway in. You have an access point. All right. And I'm going to explain some of that a little bit to you later on as we go, because anytime you give the debt, God is, I've said this all the time, God is not legalistic, but the devil is. And if he has a legal right in your life, he will not go lest that legal right is broken. You see, and we've done deliverance now for, my goodness, probably 14 years. And it's the same old, that if a person that comes to us has a legal right and they don't break that legal right, that spirit can stay. And that's why the legal rights have to be broken, because if he has an avenue in, he won't leave till that's removed. But you can remove it, and it's not hard to remove a legal right. It's very easy. Okay, so here they are at this apartment. It says, when they arrived at the apartment, Jack gave Rebecca a quick tour and they began to pray. An ominous feeling descended on both of them. It was as if a dark shroud draped itself over the room. Suddenly, the microwave, which had not been in use, began beeping. The answering machine began making strange noises, rewinding itself and then playing old erased messages. The lights began to flicker on and off, all within a matter of seconds, and all without explanation. Jack and Rebecca began praying harder. Within a few minutes, a neighbor who was also a seminary student stormed down the stairs, began pounding on the door, and yelled a string of obscenities at Jack for causing the mysterious electrical fluctuations that were now apparently affecting the whole building. There had been no history of electrical problems there, and certainly no way for that man to know that anything was going on in Jack's apartment, he had a spirit that was connecting with what was, you see what I'm saying? That happens. That's another teaching. Without a doubt, Jack and Rebecca had stirred up demonic forces that would have preferred to have remained incognito. In the name of Jesus, Jack took authority as the legal tenant of that apartment and commanded those spirits to leave by the leading of the Holy Spirit. He repented for any past sins that had been committed there. That is a key thing to do within a house or a piece of property that you're living in. Sin gives legal rights, but we have the right to repent even for things that have been done there. Now, you can't repent for the person, but you can repent and cover that sin and cancel it out with the blood of Jesus. He anointed the doors and windows and consecrated the apartment to the Lord. By the time they were done praying, great peace filled his home. Jack reported that he got his first good night's sleep since moving in several months earlier. A few weeks later, Jack sensed that the spirits were trying to regain residence. He and two other friends prayed through the apartment once again, and then he had no further spiritual trouble for the remaining time he lived in that apartment. I told you last week I had a family that have had to pray through their house a number of times just because of where they had put their property. And in that territory, there apparently has been a lot, like it was like an Indian burial ground. So they've had to go in repeatedly and keep cleansing it and cleansing it. And, you know, when you cleanse something, are your work, like it's your life, and doing deliverance on property or houses is no different than doing deliverance on yourself, okay? And just for all the new people that are here tonight, okay, we do not do weird and crazy deliverance here, all right? Because the devil's authority has been broken. We don't wrestle demons because they're already brought to nothing. You understand? So we're the ones taking charge here, not the devil, all right? Just so people don't need to be afraid of, like, oh my goodness, what are they going to do here? We're just going to send him on his way, all right? And we do that over the times that continue. But it's no different than when you are going through deliverance yourself personally. And sometimes when we work with people, especially those that have a lot of stuff going on in their lives and they've never been through deliverance, and we get started with them, sometimes when you first get started in deliverance, it can seem like to the person, like, oh my goodness, there's so much garbage here. And it can even seem kind of difficult, especially if there's any heritage of witchcraft and the occult. Okay, those are the legal rites that are done normally in witchcraft and the occult, because there's many times blood covenanting. And blood covenants, even in rituals, are so strong. Blood covenant is a real strong thing. And so those blood covenants many times have to be repented of and broken. But it's kind of like this. It's kind of like, here's the book of your life. And it's kind of like you just start turning the pages of your life. And you might deal with this over here, and then you keep turning the pages, and something else is there that you might not have dealt with. Then you just deal with it. You see what I'm saying? And so that's why with this family, that they've had to go in more than one time to cleanse their home. It's because of all, there was so much done there. And they also then had to hear the Holy Spirit as to how he was leading them to remove things, or what they needed to remove. And this is, again, why we need to get the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit back in the church. And see, when you cleanse, when the church starts cleaning out her garbage, you see, over and over and over, when Israel would sin by worshiping false gods, then they would always be defeated, weren't they? Always. Back in Joshua 7, when for the very first time, Israel lost some of their people, their men were killed. That had never been happened. And so when Joshua threw himself on the ground and said to the Lord, basically, what's going on? The Lord told him, get up. In fact, God said, you know what? You need to just get up. You've brought an accursed item into my house, into your camp, into your tent. And that's what they had. As you read that, it's in Joshua chapter 7, Achan brought in things that were devoted to be cursed. And then if you continue going through the Bible, there's times when God says, okay, if you want that to be your God, then let it protect you. You see? See, when the church decides we're going to quit entertaining ourselves with the occult and all of these other things that we are forbidden to have, those hindrances will be removed, and I believe the power of God is going to be released back into the church the way it needs to be. And we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit operating and flowing. It's just like today when I was talking to this young lady, and so she brings up this blonde-haired psychic. How many of you have seen her on TV? She's just been there kind of recently. I'd never seen her before. And so she's telling these people all this stuff about themselves. And people are fascinated with her. That is a counterfeit gift of the prophetic. That's all that it is. See, and the church needs to come back and begin to prophesy, begin to operate in the word of knowledge, begin to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And see, so when we begin to cleanse, get this garbage out of us, then we're going to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Okay, back to my story. I'm sorry, I keep going off here. This is good stuff, though. So he took authority over his house. It says, so the question here is, was the apartment haunted? In a manner of speaking, the answer is yes. It was not haunted by ghosts of human beings, but rather by demonic forces whose job was to cloud the air with oppressive darkness. And what better place to set up camp than in seminary housing, where tomorrow's Christian leaders are supposed to be receiving training for ministry. And then last week we talked about different things about how would you know if your house needed prayer. Some things that you could look for would be just, do you feel a presence in your home that you don't like? You know, and there, we're going to talk a little bit about what could open doors to that. But, you know, there might be something that was there before you moved in, or you might have brought it with you. Okay? It don't make a difference how it got there. You just need to get it out. Okay, so ongoing illnesses, continual bad dreams and nightmares, insomnia, not being able to sleep, behavioral problems, relational problems, continual fighting and strife, no peace, restless and disturbed children, unexplained bondages, ghost or demonic apparitions to which children are particularly susceptible. Children are more susceptible and vulnerable to these things than any other age, okay? And that is another reason why parents need to be careful what you bring into your house, because you put your children in a place of jeopardy then, okay? It's kind of like I have a book when I'm teaching on witchcraft and the occult, and the book is called 14 Things That Witches Do Not Want Parents to Know, and it's on about games we let our children get, things like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh, all these Magic the Gathering, you know, and that's just some of it. There's so much stuff out there, and then we open these doors up, and this person goes on to say that God will not protect children whose parents allow that to come in. Who is the covering over your children? You are. Amen? Okay, last week I shared this too. We had a little girl about 18 months old who was dealing with nightmares, seeing things. So the grandma came and asked me to pray about it. So I talked to the grandmother a little bit, and come to find out mom and dad are watching horror movies. Horror movies are nothing more than the occult. It's a spirit of fear. Okay, so, and all this stuff is happening since then, you know, so what do the parents need to do? They need to get that stuff out of the house and repent, and then get that house cleansed. Okay, poltergeist movement of physical objects, fallen unexplainable odors. In that house that we lived in, we had those horrible odors that would come up out of the register, an atmosphere that's makes it hard to breathe, nausea, headaches. It says here that if you are experiencing any of these things on an ongoing basis, ask the Lord to reveal any spiritual darkness that may be in your home. You know, no matter what you deal with, if you will begin to say, Lord, show me what's going on here, God will show you. He's faithful. He'll begin to show you what you need to deal with. We had some young people come from Minneapolis a few years ago who started playing Ouija boards. And when they started playing the Ouija boards, they were 15 years old, the two girls. They began to have demonic manifestations in their homes. And the parents, the girls got really afraid, and they would tell their parents about things moving around in their house and stuff like that. And the parents thought, they just kind of laughed at the girls. They thought they were funny. Until all of a sudden one day the mother was walking by a shelf and a box just falls off and hits her in the head. And then TVs started turning off and on. And the more these girls played with this Ouija board, the more the things were being released into the house. And then they'd follow and go back and forth between their homes, literally. And so it ended up there were three different families involved in this, and all three families came up here to get deliverance. And it was kind of interesting because the girls all knew the name of the spirit guide that was behind the Ouija board, and its name was Crew. You know, and if actually we looked that up, and it's an evil thing. But the one girl had gone blind in the process of doing this, and when we prayed and broke that off of her, she got her eyesight back. Right, instantly it came back. It was pretty amazing. Okay, then I'm going to talk a little bit about bringing cursed objects into the home. Before I do that, I want to tell you one more story about this. This is what I was going to tell you. I had a person come up to me last week, and I didn't tell you this, and I forgot. Another way that spiritual forces can come in to your house. This happens frequently. And Evelyn knows that because she's dealt with a lot of it. Somebody like a husband or a wife dies. Somebody in the family, could be a child. And then all of a sudden you are hearing things, seeing things. And normally, especially if it's a spouse, that person decides or thinks it's their dead spouse. And so they begin to entertain that. And that is understandable because that person is grieving, but The Bible says that when a person dies, that it's appointed unto man once to die and then judgment. So you're either going to go to heaven or hell, but you're not going to be wandering around. Okay. So what happens then if there is a manifestation, and this is like, oh my goodness, it happens. We have Christians that come and tell us that, well, my dead husband's visiting me and talking to me. And it's like, oh my goodness, I'd get him out fast. And then your dead husband, you know, it's a demon. It's a familiar spirit is what it is. And if it's a child, that child went to heaven more likely than not, you know, I mean, because little kids go to heaven. And if they're older, if they knew the Lord, they went to heaven. They're not floating around and coming back to visit you. Okay. So you need to be really, really careful. Well, this person came up to me last week and said that her husband died 19 years ago and they've still had his presence in her house and she's even remarried since then. Now that might sound funny, but I said, oh my goodness, you better go home and get that thing out of your house. So they did. But, and I asked her if I could share that tonight, but, you know, that's not, people don't understand that those are demonic spirits. And what they are, this is what they're called. They're called dead man spirits. And I'm going to explain this to you because what is a dead man spirit? A dead man spirit is a spirit that, okay, if, you know, we talk about doing deliverance and on, you know, and I believe everybody needs deliverance, at least to a degree. We just, you know, unless you're so perfect that you never ever did anything wrong, you don't have any generational stuff in your life, nothing, okay? So we've all messed up, okay? And we've all probably entertained things we shouldn't. So, but a dead man's spirit would be like a spirit that is on the person and then they die and that familiar spirit stays there. And the very first time that I heard about a dead man spirit, which is basically what I would say comes and happens when somebody dies and then you think you got your husband or your wife back, but you didn't. Okay. And that needs to be cast out of your house if anybody's doing that, entertaining that. But a dead man spirit, again, is that familiar spirit. And we used to think that was crazy. So the guy that got us in deliverance, when he first told us about it, we just kind of like, nah, I don't think so. I don't believe that. You know, if you die, you go to heaven or you go to hell. And so I don't even believe that. You know, you've heard me say that a lot where I don't believe that, you know, and then God shows me later it's true. So we had a guy come to our house after we had decided we didn't believe in dead man spirits. And he came for deliverance, and he was a Vietnam veteran, and he was telling us what he liked to do is he liked to go out and like kill deer, or he liked to hunt, but he loved to kill them because he loved to watch them bleed to death. He liked that, and he had been depressed, and he had all the curses that really the Buddhist monks prayed against the Vietnam veterans. Vietnam veterans need to get delivered. You know, half the trauma and junk they do is nothing more than stuff that was prayed against them when they were there, okay? But anyway, he said to us, so he's telling us his story, and he said to us, the very first man that I killed over in Vietnam, he said, I watched his spirit come out of him and come into me. And he said that, and then he had killed, he said, thousands of people over there. But he said when he came back to Rockford, and then he had a mental breakdown and he was in Swedes, he said, when I finally came and made peace with myself over killing that man from the very get-go, that very first one, he said, I saw that man's spirit come out of me and go out the window. And we're thinking, oh my goodness. But he experienced that, and that's when I thought, that must be what a dead man spirit is. It's that spirit that's in the person. And, you know, this guy here that explained it, not this guy that I'm telling you, sir, but the guy that got us into deliverance explained it, and he said that when a person dies, that the spirits that are on that person will usually sit and wait, even in their bodies at the funeral home, until someone, especially in the family, comes and hugs them And it's an easy transference because it's a familiar spirit. See, a lot of the things that we have bloodline generational, those things were easy to transfer because we were raised up in that. And I remember going to a funeral one time and walking by a coffin of a man that I did not know. I went to this funeral just because it was the father of one of my students at Christian Life. And so I went to the funeral for her, and I remember walking by his coffin and thinking, ugh, I can't stand that guy. And it was just a dead body. And I thought, that is so weird why I just felt like that from that dead body. But then after I learned about this, see, it was a man who had molested and violated every one of his children. He was an abuser. And so when you walk by, you could sense that ugly spirit of filth on him, you see? So when people die and then they come back, that person has not come back. It's a familiar spirit, and it's come to deceive you. So if you are entertaining that, you need to get it out, okay? Because it will ruin your life. Demonic spirits do not come into your life for anything but to destroy. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Okay, these are some ways that we can open doors to spiritual forces in our homes. And one of those was bringing cursed objects into our homes. Any object that was made for use in satanic service. Now, the reason I'm reading some of this stuff to you is because I have a lot of people who will bring items from other countries, or they'll have occult items. You need to be really careful when you go, especially to the islands, because there's so much voodoo, there's so much witchcraft, and there's so much, and Mexico, that's another place, that all this stuff comes back into this country. Benny Hinn said one time, he said, Americans bring demons into this country all the time because they go over and they bring all this paraphernalia over, that these idols, and then the spirits just come back with them. But when we bring items that are cursed into our house, and people say, well, can I just pray over it and cast the spirit out of it and keep it? I wouldn't want to. I'm sorry. See, I guess maybe living in that house that we lived in, I pick and choose my battles. Sorry, but I do. And I am not going to go out and look for trouble. I have enough to do without looking for any more battles, okay? So why would you want to do that, all right? So let me finish reading this. Any object, now this is a woman, this comment here I'm taking from her is from someone who has dealt in a lot of arenas of getting people free from witchcraft. So any object that was made for use in Satan's service is cursed, and she says cannot be cleansed. Cannot be cleansed. They must be destroyed. Examples of these are idols, statues of demon gods, jewelry with occultic symbols. About half of all the souvenirs found in any shop around the world are cursed objects. Why? Because often they are articles pertaining to the local culture, which usually involves demon worship. I'm also going to read to you, probably it's going to be next week, but some things from Peter Horbin in his book, Healing Through Deliverance. That is a number one book that I recommend to read if you want to read on deliverance. Healing Through Deliverance by Peter Horbin. It's this thick. And that's required reading if for anybody training to be in deliverance ministry. But it's good. It's really balanced. He's probably one of the most balanced. But he says the same thing, okay? Now, you can argue any point you want to with me, and you can go home and you can do whatever you want. But I've been there, done that. You couldn't convince me any other way. See, a lot of what we teach here is what we have dealt with experientially. You see, so when you back it up with the scripture, and then it is the same thing that keeps playing out over and over and over, after a while you realize there's a lot of truth to this stuff, you see. So why would you want to keep something in your home that's been dedicated to the occult or any kind of idol worship. Another thing, let me just throw this out to you too. Drugs. Drugs are nothing more than another form of the occult. That's all they are. Okay? And those are doors. You know, you got drugs in your house, you got spirits in your house. Okay, Deuteronomy 7, 25 and 26. It says, you shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it for yourself, lest you be snared by it. For it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. The Amplified says, cursed to be destroyed, or cursed for destruction. You shall utterly hate it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. If you've traveled and brought home carved images of demon gods as souvenirs, she says, I have been in many churches where the first thing I saw as I stepped into the pastor's office was an array of souvenirs from his travels all over the missions. All too frequently, these souvenirs include statues of demon gods, masks and faces of stuff from Africa, you know, all this different stuff like that. You know, children are smarter than adults in the fact that you bring that and put it up in their bedroom and they're going to want it out. Kids are going to be, you know, they are. You know, but adults bring it home and think it's okay to bring something from another country that's been dedicated. We had a little gal come from Mexico one time, and she bought a ring in Mexico. And once she bought it, this is back when, do you remember praying with her? Her and I prayed with this girl. And all sorts of bad things started happening to her after she bought this ring. So she looked at it, and what did it have on it? It had something demonic on it, some occult thing that she didn't notice when she bought it. But you had to really look at it because it had all this other design in it. So we prayed for her. And as she took the ring off, it didn't want to come off. And it always came off really easy any other time. And it literally burned her finger coming off. Isn't that weird? But see, that's different things being brought in from outside that had been cursed. It had a purpose, and its purpose was occult. So do you have statues of like a Buddha, Pharaoh's head of Egypt, African art carvings? Egyptian stuff is big, you know? I had a friend one time that went to Christian Life. She was a teacher over there, and she went to Haiti and came back with a bunch of articles from Haiti and got violently sick. And so we were praying. She was dealing with sickness all the time since she'd gone to Haiti and come back. So it was right after I got into deliverance. So her and I and another teacher were praying for her. And as we prayed for her, the Holy Spirit kept saying there was witchcraft. Well, she knew she'd never been into witchcraft, you know. So I said, well, I don't know. I said, that's what I keep getting is we're dealing with witchcraft. And so she goes, oh, my goodness, I know. She said, I brought all this stuff back from Haiti, and it's at the foot of my bed. So she went, and we went over there and got the stuff out of her house and prayed and cleansed the house and everything. We were not able to burn. The best thing to do is pass them through the fire. Jack Hayford says to take in, if you got an occult item, he said, and you can't burn it because of laws and stuff. He said, you can just take a cigarette lighter and pass it through the fire because that's what the Bible says, pass it through the fire. So that's what they do. But we didn't have a place to burn it. And so we threw it in the dumpsters up at Edgebrook Shopping Center. So we didn't want to do it over at First Assembly because we were afraid somebody would dig it out and because it was nice stuff, and then bring it to their house and have it. So that sounds corny, but that's, you know, we wanted to get rid of it. So, you know, that's what we did. We also prayed with someone that went to the Mardi Gras down in New Orleans and came back with a little voodoo doll and all the little things and gave it to her boyfriend. And then the boyfriend's mother got violently sick And we went to pray for them, and it was quite an ordeal praying with them. And what ended up happening is we went to burn the voodoo doll, and the voodoo doll would not burn. It would not burn. ended up having to throw it away after a while, didn't we? Because we couldn't get the dumb thing to burn, you know? And then we had a Ouija board one time. We've had kids at Christian Life used to tell me these stories all the time, but we also burned a Ouija board, and it hissed like a snake the whole time we burned it. And then I had a student who, his older brother got playing with Ouija boards. There's a really strong spirit of death behind Ouija boards. It is nothing small. And this boy, they went out, they took it out, and they burned it, came back into the house, and it was sitting on the table. Perfect. Not any singeing on it or nothing. Okay? That's some high-level witchcraft, isn't it? You see, so the Ouija board is a lot more than we think it is. It's not a toy, but it's sold in Toys R Us. You know, that's dangerous. You know, if you've got one, you'd want to get that one out and you'd want to repent for it. You know, we had one time. My mom sent us one and he would never play it with me. So I tried to play it and it wouldn't work for me. So we threw it out. This is years ago before we were Christians, but you know, who knows? You just think it's a game. It is not a game. It's serious stuff. Okay. So those are things. If you bring them into your house, you can end up opening up things. It says many articles of clothing and jewelry have occult designs, pictures, and symbols on them. Demon spirits can legally attach to these items. And so anyone, if you wear this stuff, you really are inviting the demonic spirit behind it to yourself, you see. And people do it unaware, but do you think the devil cares? No, not at all. He doesn't care if you know what you're doing or not doing. He's hoping you don't know what you're doing, because that's how he gets in, because he's deceptive. And once he gets in, he begins to wreak havoc in your family, in your children, maybe in your physical body. And to start out with, he's real subtle, real, real subtle. And, you know, you don't notice, and it just kind of gets worse and worse and worse and worse. So I'm going to share another story about somebody that's here too. And they told me I could. So, but we had someone who was, their child was into heroin, and we prayed with them and they'd gotten free and then went back into it a number of months later. And you know, I don't know why with heroin, but heroin, when you go back and you get free from it and then you go back in and use it, it can be much more devastating than before. And so they began to pray in their home and really wage warfare against the heroin and the drug addiction. And one day as this person was praying, the Lord said, you've got them all over your walls, the door to the heroin. And what she had was pictures of poppy seeds, plants, and the plates with the poppy seeds on it. And that's what heroin comes out of. And so when she took them down, she said it was like she could hardly stand to even throw them away. That's the stronghold they had just on the mother. But when she got them out of the house, when she took them down and got them out, I think it was within 1 or 2 days, the daughter made a decision to turn around and go through treatment and get out of it. You see how that was broken? You see? So a lot of times just by breaking a legal right, by removing an object in your home that's occult. Now, who'd have ever thought that? But when she prayed, God showed her what was holding some of that stuff in place. See, those spirits will hold things in place, and that's why we need to discern them. This here is a story about a jewelry box. It says, there was a story, this woman went to a meeting and was listening to a missionary from China. The woman from China began to discuss with them how demonic forces could inhabit objects in order to bring spiritual darkness into a home. Having lived in China, this missionary had a different approach to spiritual issues than most people with a Western mindset. The other woman that had gone to the meeting had a beautiful jewelry box from Thailand. It was decorated with dragons, pagodas, Buddhas, and all kinds of images that she knew did not bring glory to God. The more she prayed, the more she felt the jewelry box needed to go. Her husband thought she was totally off the wall. The box was a gift and worth a lot of money, so he told her to not get rid of it. About 3 weeks later in prayer, the Lord spoke to him and said, "You have cursed your wife to rebel against me, to rebel against my will for her life, and I'll hold you accountable." He said when he got home, he immediately set a fire in the fireplace. When he put the jewelry box in the fireplace, a strange, eerie wind began to blow and stir all around the living room and knocked a lamp over. He said it scared him, and immediately he called a person in their church that understood spiritual things, and she began to pray over him on the phone. She declared some scriptures and commanded any evil presence linked with the jewelry box to leave their home. He said the Lord then spoke to him and said, "I am delivering you from not only this box and the demonic spirits behind it, but also from the covetousness of greed that you have within you," because he had wanted it for, because it cost a lot. I've had people in this church that have discarded thousands of dollars worth of occult items to get them out of their house once they've realized that. Hallelujah. I mean, that's commendable, very commendable. Things from other countries, you know, that once they realized that these were occult items, they didn't want them in their home. And you know, you don't want to give them to somebody else. So they got rid of them. There was a woman, I think I told you this last week, that Pastor Kevin one time had people bring up and lay on the altar any items that shouldn't be in their homes. And they began to bring all, and people even got delivered of smoking and stuff. They were bringing all sorts of things, which was hallelujah. But this one woman brought up a painting the next week, because she didn't have it that Sunday, but he said bring them for the next week. She had brought up a painting that was worth, I think it was over $20,000. And it was a painting that had been painted by this woman who would go into a trance, and when she went into the trance, she was able to paint like this. She was not a painter, but when she'd go into the trance, it was a beautiful picture, but it was not worth keeping it in their home, you see, because what does that do? It will hold your family in bondage, whether you think it will or not. See, there's nothing, I do not prize anything on this earth if it's going to keep us in bondage. It doesn't make a difference what it is. Okay. If it's questionable, it isn't in my house. Okay. And I, like I say, well, you know, and I don't think it's just because I lived in that house. I think it's because of all the people we do deliverance on. And you see all this stuff that's holding them and destroying them. And we're always trying to figure out why am I like I am? Or why do we have all these problems? Or, you know, well, you know, maybe there's some things here that we need to remove out of our lives and get rid of them. Okay, Derek Prince also talks about and he's got another good book out called They Shall Expel Demons, and he's another one I would recommend reading. I don't recommend everybody, every author on deliverance, because there's a lot of weird stuff out there. But Derek Prince is a good writer. He's very grounded in the Word of God, doesn't do weird stuff. But for years and years and years, his family lived in China. They were actually missionaries, and their family dealt with depression all the time. And one day he was praying to the Lord as to why they were dealing with all of the depression. And the Lord said to him, because it's on your wall, and they had these big rug tapestry type things hanging on their walls of dragons. And so when they removed them, they broke the depression off their bloodline, off their family. They were totally set free. Well, what is a dragon? Who does the Bible tell us was the dragon? You see? Yeah. And they had come out of China, which is, you got to look at what they serve over there. You see? And we think there's nothing to this stuff, but there's a whole lot more to what this stuff is than what we think of. You know, toys, games. We've walked children through deliverance. It's funny that when a child goes through deliverance for a toy, over and over and over, this kid will say, "You know what? I'm there's like something shaking on the inside of me," as we're praying. And a lot of kids will just, as we're praying and casting that out from where that toy, what the spirit behind the toy access them, they will literally begin to shake. First they feel it on the inside, and then it manifests on the outside. Okay, I'm just going to give you a couple more things, and then we're going to pray. I'm going to finish up next week. I'm going to actually go over a little bit about praying on over your land and things that can defile the land. These will be steps that you're going to need to do to repent over certain things. See, what you specifically want to do is that if you even leave here tonight and you go home and decide you need to pray over your house or you need to get some things out of your house, what you want to do is you want to ask the Lord, okay, God, you show me. You don't have to go by what Beth Tucker tells you. You go home and you ask the Lord to show you what is in your house that shouldn't be in your house and let him reveal. And he'll probably show you over the next few days, okay? Then get it out. But you want to repent for whatever it is. And if you brought it in, repent for bringing it in. If you're living in a house and there's stuff going on and you don't, it was there when you got there, then repent for whatever was done in that house that opened the door to that. Okay, even if it's not your sin, you can get the blood of Jesus and that'll totally remove its power to be there. Renounce it, then walk through the house, start casting it out. Get it out. Next week, I'm going to talk a little bit about if you're dealing with some occult items, that witchcraft that was done on the land prior to your moving in there, that's a little bit different to deal with, but you can still deal with it, and you can still get it out of your house. It's not something that you have to put up with, okay? There is no power in hell greater than the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And so once we break and repent and break legal rights, they have to leave, unless it's stuff that has been dedicated to the devil, okay? Such as if you go into, say you wanted to go to the Mormon temple in Utah, do you think you're going to go out there and cast that Mormon ruler out of there? No, you're not, because that's not your territory. You have no legal rights there. You see what I'm saying? You know, so there's certain things that if you went over to China and you decided to go and tear down Buddha, well, I don't want to say good luck, but you know, that's theirs, okay? But if it's our territory, we can take back what belongs to us. And I do want to say again, like I did last week, the United States of America belongs to our God. It belongs to our God. And even though Freemasonry has endeavored to set its ugly little head up at our Capitol, you're going to watch that come down in this nation. Okay? And probably a lot of it's coming out of this house right here because hell has been shook up out of this place. We are getting people delivered all the time. And the more people learn and the more they get out of their lives, the freer, you know, it's like momentum. You know, it's like if one can set 1,000, two can set 10,000. You see? So what the devil meant for harm and for to destroy us, God has turned it. You see? And now what he endeavored to do, and some of the stuff our family went through, I will probably never share with you. Probably won't. We just went through a lot because of that house. And it put a lot of things into motion that was just really, really rough on our family. But we got delivered. We got set free. And now we're wiping the floor up with the devil and anybody else that God brings to us. And, you know, we've got a team, you know, whatever the devil has endeavored to destroy you, you will become a deliverer of that. You will. You can bring freedom to people. You know, don't walk out and ever think, well, you know, I'm such a loser. You know, I got all this junk and I've done all this bad stuff and I've made all these mistakes. You know, is that not all of us? You know, when we, and I think I told you this last week, when we went for deliverance, when we finally found somebody to deliver us, which took us a while, because there just weren't a whole lot of people doing deliverance. When we finally found this guy, we were a mess, so we went to his house, and we'd never met this guy, so we'd seen a picture of him, though, so we did, on the back of a book that somebody had given us that said something like forgiveness, unforgiveness, bitterness, or curses or whatever. And I'd had the book around for a long time and I had thought, oh, curses, humbug. I don't believe in curses, you know. And then finally God began to give us revelation. Well, when we went to his house to get freedom, especially for one of our children that had been in that house, and we knocked on his door, and my first thought was, what are we going to tell him we're here for? You know, you feel so stupid. I mean, here he's a deliverance minister, but we'd never been through deliverance. So we thought he certainly was going to think we were weird because we had demons. You know, this. So when we knocked at the door, my thought was like, we're the people with the demons. You know, that sounds awful, but that's how I felt. And I thought, God, because we had so much trouble, especially with one of our children. And I said, Lord, if I have to say I'm the worst parent on the face of the earth, I will. I don't care. I just want my baby helped. That's all I want. And that man told us that day, he said, you are not bad parents. You are good parents. He says it's just because of what got into your family through that house that all this stuff has played out. And oh, what freedom that gave to me. You know, because I did. I think, dear God, what have we done wrong? And, you know, really, the only thing we were guilty of was just trying so hard to do it right. But it seems like no matter how hard we try to do it right, we were always dealing with warfare we couldn't see. And, you know, the enemy will try to take your child, or anybody can, but... And get them to operate in all sorts of junk. And you're always warring. But you know what? There comes a place where Jesus, he didn't tell us to discipline demons. He didn't tell us to counsel demons. He told us to cast them out. So, and he said, renounce the works of darkness. So when we renounce those works and we cast the devil out, he has to go. And once you start that pattern in your life, literally, you will begin to break off. It's like a domino effect. And it begins to literally reach out into your bloodline and people begin to get saved. People start coming in the kingdom of God because the things that are demonic are strategically set up to hinder everything that's the work of God. They're strategic in that because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. So if the devil can hinder the anointing from flowing, you see, then his yoke doesn't get broke. And let's stop and think of this. Do we not have a whole lot of yokes to get broken off of people's lives? You see? So see why it's so important that we get free, that we get things out of our lives that will bring the demonic in, or if the doors have been opened, even though we don't didn't have nothing to do with it, like I'm talking about cleansing your house, just get it out. You have authority. The newest Christian in this room, and there's some that are very, very new in this room, you have as much authority as any of us does. Because the authority is not about how old you are in Jesus. It's about Jesus. And he said, he's the one. He said, all authority has been, you know, my grandkids, when they were little, would cast demons out. They knew. All they had to do was say, in the name of Jesus, you go. Because they just watched grandma do that all the time or grandpa do it all the time. And, you know, it would work too. Because it's that name that's above every name. Amen? Amen. Okay, let's pray. And then I'm going to have my team up here tonight. If you need prayer, you're welcome to come up and get prayer. Let me encourage you to come back next week. I'm going to wind it up next week. I'm going to also do corporate deliverance next week, which this would be an opportunity for you, by the way. Go home and ask the Lord what you got in your house that you shouldn't have. If you have stuff, and get rid of it. Get it out. You know, who'd want to keep a demon? You know, I sure wouldn't. So get rid of it and ask the Holy Spirit to show you. You know, could be Masonic stuff. You know, stuff from Freemasonry. That's big. Freemasonry is the epitome of witchcraft. That's, if you ever study Freemasonry, it's horrible. They do rituals. They offer sacrifices way up in their high. People just don't know that. Shriners. Good cover up, isn't that? That's all it is. It's just a cover up. Make us look good out here, but we'll destroy you over there. That's what it is. Shriners are nothing more than masons. And you cannot be a Shriner without being high up in Freemasonry. Anyway, so next week we'll do corporate deliverance, but you can come up and get prayer tonight. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, debo son dara hehe sokom bara heshe ke tora makasta. Ombere hesta la macrinda robo so carte de sheta mombere hesta mingrebo si tili asora kata eston de heston de la masha tarabo kata. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence right now. Presto maracata. O mahi masaya mahasongere debe shipora makata. In the name of Jesus, I take authority right now over every bit of heaviness, every bit of pressure that the enemy is inflicting right now on people that are sitting here in the name of Jesus. And I bind it. I render it inoperative in the name of Jesus. I declare that the anointing breaks every yoke in Jesus' name. And I command every blinder removed. I command the veils removed in the name of Jesus. I command that which has blinded people from knowing the truth to go now in Jesus' name. I command literally, like, it's like you've just been capped, and I command that to be removed right now in the name of Jesus. I command revelation to be released to you in the name of Jesus. I command every spirit of hopelessness broken in Jesus' name, in the name of the Lord. That feeling that things are never going to change for you, I break that off in the name of Jesus. I come against generational iniquitous patterns in Jesus' name. And we command right now those iniquitous patterns, God, we repent for them, God. We break them off, and God, we call them out right now. We call them literally out of the bone marrow, out of the organs in Jesus' name. I speak to infirmity, and I command right now infirmity in the name of Jesus. I command infirmity to go in Jesus' name. I command weakness of body, dizziness, go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I come against right now financial problems where it seems like everything is devouring and devouring. In the name of Jesus, we come against that devouring spirit in Jesus' name. God, we repent for whatever opened that door, and I command its authority broken in Jesus' name. I take authority over addictive patterns in Jesus' name, and I declare right now addictions, addictive personality, you get out of every person in this room in the name of Jesus. We command right now addictive patterns, drugs and alcohol, get out. Get out of the bloodlines in the name of Jesus. Spirits of heroin, spirits of cocaine in the name of Jesus, spirits of marijuana, I break your hold. I command you to get out in the name of Jesus. Loose God's people. Come out right now in the name of Jesus. Come out of their children in Jesus' name. Come out of their grandchildren. Those addictive personalities in the name of Jesus. We break their authority. We command them to go right now. Now in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus, I speak to a spirit of depression, and I command depression to go right now in Jesus' name. I command a spirit of insecurity, rejection, go in Jesus' name. Come out, all that worthlessness, feeling like you're not worth anything, I command that to go. I command that broken heart to go in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. All that woundedness, expel in the name of Jesus. All that woundedness, come out. Come out. All that hopelessness, come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I command right now that pain in the mother's heart, in a mother's heart, come out right now over your children. I can't cast that out in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, that we are covenant children. That God, we are in covenant with you, Lord. And God, I give you praise that God, in that covenant, Lord, you are held to us, and we will call upon you and you will answer us. You will be with us in trouble, Lord. You will deliver us and you will honor us and you will satisfy us, oh God, with long life. So Father, we speak healing into every body. God, we declare that, God, we are living in a place called done. It was provided on the cross. And God, we choose to lay hold of all that you've done for us in the mighty name of Jesus. So, Father, I declare your blessing on these people. I declare they are blessed coming in. They are blessed going out. God, that what they set their hands to, Father, you empower them to prosper, God. They are blessed, blessed, blessed in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to have my team come up. And if you do want prayer, we're up here to pray for you. Amen.